Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Friday morning as we continue studying our time in Amos together. Hope you've had a great week. I've had a wonderful week here at St. Matthew's. Looking forward to this weekend. I can't wait for worship. First Sunday of April means we take communion. So I've had a week full of communion. I've done homebound communion several times this week. It's been a good week. And so I'm looking forward to worship at St. Matthew's Sunday and taking communion. God is good, and it's going to be good to worship with my people Sunday. And if you're in the Jackson Metro area, we'd love to have you worship with us at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Today we're going to be in Amos 3. And you know, yesterday we talked about the judgment that was going to come against God's people. So today we're going to continue looking at the judgment that God pronounces against his people. So we'll read all of Amos 3 together today. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt. You only have I known of all the families of earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two walk together unless they have made an appointment? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den if it has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into the snare of the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring up from the ground when it has nothing? Is a trumpet blown in the city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster befall a city unless the Lord has done it? Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Prophesy to the strongholds of Ashdod, to the strongholds of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves on Mount Samaria and see the great tumult within and see what oppressions are in its midst. They do not know how to do right, says the Lord, those who store violence and robbery in their strongholds. Therefore, says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround their land and strip you of your defense. Your stronghold shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who live in Samaria be rescued with a corner of a couch and part of a bed. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts. On the day I punish Israel for its transgressions, I will punish the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house as well as the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall come to an end. The Lord. So let's talk about, this is an interesting passage because the first part of it is kind of a defense of the prophet's words. He says, you know, do not two walk together? Does the lion not roar? Does a bird not fall? Does the trumpet not blow? And he's saying these things, surely these things happen, right? Surely the trumpet will blow and there's trouble. Surely a bird will fall. And, you know, surely these things will happen. So surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Amos knows this prophecy will not be well received. Amos knows the words he's going to speak are not going to land well, because no one likes to be told you're wrong. No one likes to be rebuked or corrected. I don't. Very few of us do. So Amos knows that what he's going to tell the people today, they're not going to like. So thus he says, the Lord doesn't do anything without revealing it to his prophets. So just because I'm saying this doesn't mean that I'm making this up. The Lord's going to reveal his truth to his prophets. So he's defending his words here and showing the people how they know that they can trust what he's saying. He is a prophet. He is a word from the Lord. And the Lord is going to reveal what he's doing to the prophet first. So then he goes on to say, assemble these people to come see what's going to happen. Destruction is going to come. But then towards the end, verses 14 and 15, he begins to articulate this is going to continue into chapter 4, which we'll talk about Monday, but he begins to articulate what it is that the people will be punished for specifically. On the day I put, this is verse 14 and 15. On the day I punish Israel for its transgressions, I will punish the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house as well as the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall come to an end. Okay, so the thing with the altars. Let's recall, I mentioned this before. Let's recall the northern kingdom was Israel, the northern 10 tribes. The southern kingdom was Judah, the lower two tribes. Jerusalem was part of Judah. That was in Judah. In Jerusalem, where the temple and where the sacrifices were done. In Jesus' day, everyone from all of the Holy Land came to Jerusalem to worship. So even though Jesus spent most of his ministry in Galilee, up in the northern part, Galilee would be in what we think of as the northern kingdom of Israel. In this time, Nazareth, a lot of those places like that would be in the northern kingdom of Israel. Bethel would have been southern. Okay. So where I'm going with this is in the days of Amos, in the days of the divided kingdom, the people from Israel were not going to go worship in Jerusalem. That was a different kingdom. They didn't go to Jerusalem. They stayed in Israel. But Jerusalem was where the temple was. So the kings of Israel created these high places, these high altars of Bethel, places like that, where they would go and worship God. But they were not worshiping God as put forth in the covenant. They were worshiping Yahweh with a mixing together of other pagan and other and the religion of their neighbors. So the religious customs and worship of Israel, the northern kingdom, were always off. So you're going to see in the prophets a lot of these comments of, I will destroy the high places. I will destroy the sacred poles. I will tear down the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. So God saying that these pagan altars that have become intermixed with the people of God will be destroyed. That God demands these things be destroyed. Then he says, I will tear down the winter houses as well as the summer house. So in other words, the rulers of Israel, the kings and the other people of importance, they had a summer house and a winter house. And there was a lot of poverty in Israel, a lot of need. And he's rebuking their lack of care for the poor of Israel. We had a long conversation Wednesday night at St. Matthew's. We were reading Matthew 25, talking about our compulsion, according to Jesus, our call to care for the poor. And there's a tension there. We wonder, how do we best care for the poor? How is the best way to do it? What are we called to do as individuals? What are we called to do as the church? And there is going to always be a tension there because we don't always know the best way to do it, do we? You know, sometimes it's hard to figure out what's the best way to serve the poor. The Lord is condemning in verses 14 and 15 their faults and improper worship, how they are worshiping falsely, how they are not truly worshiping God as put forth in the covenant and the law. And the reason why they're not doing it is because they're not going to go to Jerusalem and worship as they were rightly instructed. So their kings and their religious leaders put up these false temples, these false sacred high places that the Lord will tear down and destroy. So he's rebuking them for their false and incorrect worship. And then he is rebuking them for their lack of care for the poor. And those, I think, are important things for us to hear and think about. And we're going to, when we read chapter 4 Monday, we're going to see a continual call to that, to make sure that we are caring for the poor, to make sure that we are worshiping correctly. So I think that's a good word for us. Let's make sure that our worship is centered on Jesus. Let's make sure that we are worshiping for the right reasons, and that we're worshiping the right thing, that it's about Jesus, y'all. So I told my folks Wednesday night, when it comes to worship, we're not the audience of worship. We're the participants. Worship is not about us. Worship is not about what we feel, but worship is about what we do. Now, if we're doing it, we're going to feel something. But we are not the audience of worship. God is the audience. We're the participants. Let's make sure we're worshiping with a pure and a focused heart on seeking God. And then let's make sure that our heart is attuned to the needs around us. And let's make sure that we are doing all that we can do to serve those in need who are around us every day. The people of Israel did not do that. The Lord rebuked them. Let's make sure that we don't make that mistake. Thanks for being with us today as we continue in our time together in Amos. I hope you have a great weekend. Like I said, we'd love to have you worship with us at St. Matthew's this Sunday if you're around our area. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. See ya. Thank you.